Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm your host, Tim Shanahan, and today we're going to talk about reading rate and reading speed. A while back, I received a letter from a teacher who wrote, "How much does reading speed matter? And if it is important, what's the best way to develop it in our learners? I've heard that 100 words per minute is the minimal speed for comprehension. Is that a real thing? I believe the average speed is 200 words per minute." Well, it's an interesting question, and so I responded to it like this. It makes sense that there would be a speed that enables comprehension. However, I know of no studies that have identified an essential minimum reading rate. If there is one, it's considerably slower than 100 words per minute. It's funny, everyone seems interested in speeding readers up. Minimum rates don't get much attention. There are various studies of speeding readers up. I don't know of any where they try to slow them down. Despite these experimental efforts, research reveals that reading rates in the U.S. have declined. Our kids are reading slower these days. As to your question about the necessary rate for comprehension, I found a provocative claim in the influential book, Becoming a Nation of Readers. The corresponding rate, and this is a quote, "the corresponding rate for poor readers at this level is 50 to 70 words per minute. According to one group of scholars, this rate is so slow as to interfere with comprehension, even of easy material, and is unlikely to leave much capacity free for developing new comprehension abilities." The attribution, or according to one group of scholars, implies that the authors weren't certain of its reliability, and the footnoted citation they provided in the book was incorrect. It referred to a different report, so I have no idea where that 50 to 70 words per minute estimate came from. Ron Carver did some interesting experiments with the listening comprehension of adults. And remember, listening comprehension. He found that listening speeds of 75 words per minute allowed high levels of comprehension. And that speed increases did not become problematic until 150 to 225 words per minute were reached. Once he got up to those ranges, it was hard to comprehend the text. Different comprehension tasks result in different reading rates. It could be that dropping the reading speeds to 50 words per minute might muck things up, but Carver didn't slow things down that much, and given the high comprehension accomplished with 75 words per minute, makes me think it unlikely that 70 words per minute would be especially damaging. Given that average third graders can read an unfamiliar story aloud at the rate of about 100 words correct per minute, tells me that we're not likely to find many readers, except absolute beginners, who read as slow as 50 words per minute. Nevertheless, I still believe that there must be a rate too slow to allow comprehension. As Gibson and Levin explained long ago, there's a minimal speed of reading below which the syntactical and meaningful relations within a sentence or a larger unit of discourse do not come through. Reading one word at a time with pauses between makes it nearly impossible to extract information beyond the word. Short-term memory has limited capacity, so as one slows down, this capacity may get overwhelmed. Needing to hold words in working memory for inordinate amounts of time while waiting for more information to come in could disrupt information integration, which may render a text insensible. Slow speeds may make it difficult to sustain interest and attention as well. Some slow readers may not really read slowly. They allow their minds to wander and pause when they're supposedly reading. They have a problem, but speeding them up probably wouldn't help with that. Not surprising. Average reading rates are far above whatever speeds may be necessary for comprehension. There are various studies of reading rates at different grade and age levels. Our best estimates of average reading speeds come from a study by Taylor. He found the following average silent reading rates for reading with comprehension. Now remember, these are silent reading rates. We usually read a bit faster silently than orally, so these will differ from the oral reading estimates that many schools target. So let's just go through these. Grade 2, the kids, the average grade 2 student reads at 115 words per minute. Grade 3, that goes up to 138 words per minute. Grade 4, 158. Grade 5, 173. Grade 6, 185. Grade 7, 195. Grade 8, 204. Grade 9, 214. Grade 10, 224. Grade 11, 237. Grade 12, 250. And for college students, the average is about 280 words per minute. So you can see it's just a steady climb up for kids in terms of reading speeds. It should be noted that these are averages and that reading rates vary a great deal within each grade or age level. There are large standard deviations. One example of this is from a study of fourth graders who read at an average rate of 153 words per minute, but the standard deviation was 69 words. That means kids at the 35th percentile, that's kids not likely to be eligible for reading support at your school, would be reading at only about 110 words per minute, much lower than the 153-word average for fourth graders, but also lower than the average second grade rate. Also, reading speeds will likely vary by content and purpose. More demanding texts require readers to slow down to maintain adequate comprehension, while easier texts and lower needs for accuracy should permit faster reading. Now, my hunch is that there are three kinds of slow reading. First, we have long known that mathematicians and scientists read much more slowly than the general population, though usually with excellent comprehension. They also pause more often during reading. That's because they think deeply about the ideas and try to make lots of connections. Not surprisingly, they read a lot. They reread a lot, too. They really think about the ideas. Basically, they read slowly to plumb the depths of a text and shouldn't be interfered with. If you have some pokey kids who spend a lot of time reading a text but who accomplish high comprehension, leave them alone. They might make your reading rates look bad, but they're not a problem. A second kind of slow reader is the most common one. These days, in the schools I visit, the desire for faster oral reading fluency is the issue. Teachers seek better Dibbles, names, web scores, so they promote hurried reading. Many young readers are struggling with the words. Their attention is on decoding, not comprehension. They're exhausting their cognitive resources and puzzling over words so they have nothing left for accomplishing prosody, pausing in the right places, or for remembering key facts, and their reading speeds suffer. Their struggle with the words is the slowing factor. Instead of urging them to hurry it along or trying to teach faster reading rates, we must enable them to decode more easily and to read more fluently. That means devoting instructional time to decoding, spelling, and morphology instruction, making sure they easily recognize spelling patterns and know what to do with them. Another classroom emphasis should be on text reading fluency itself with these kids. The original idea behind such fluency training was to use oral reading practice to help young readers apply their phonics skills more proficiently. In phonics programs, children may be asked to decode lots of single words and words and lists, but reading words within text while trying to think about what the text says is a very different experience and one that kids should have a good deal of experience with. The third type of slow reader? Talk to many middle school, high school, and college students. They'll tell you that they are disgusted with how slowly they read. There are many slow readers who, despite adequate accuracy and automaticity, also don't comprehend well. Their problem has more to do with a lack of desire to read or to do schoolwork, and they may suffer from poor concentration. Simply put, their heads aren't in the game. They may have 2 hours of homework, and they'd rather be goofing on TikTok or YouTube. They figure if they could read at 1,000 miles an hour, they could do both comfortably. Not much different than their teachers who may prefer Coca-Cola for breakfast and chocolate cake for dinner while maintaining a size 12. Nice idea? Probably ain't going to happen. These students are the ones most likely to benefit from what we refer to as comprehension strategies. That is, intentional actions a reader can take to understand or remember information from a text. An example, when my mind wanders, I try to summarize each paragraph in a phrase or two. Yes, that slows me down a bit rather than speeding me up, but it gives me something to do during reading that allows me to engage with the text when my mind is resisting. The level of engagement that it creates increases my comprehension, and that's the real goal. Once I'm in a text, I don't need that strategic crutch anymore. I can go on without it. The first kind of slow reading, the bright people who invest themselves so deeply in a text that it takes a lot of time, are not a problem. Though some mathematicians complain that they can't read more than one or two books a year for pleasure. It's a trade-off, of course. Reading more books superficially would likely disappoint these readers. The second kind of slow reading, the lack of decoding facility and text reading fluency, is a major reading problem and one that needs to be addressed better for millions of kids. We need to sharpen and extend our efforts to build word knowledge throughout the grades, and kids deserve much more fluency work than they get now in most classrooms. Moms and dads can help with this one too, encouraging their children to read more at home. Practice contributes to proficiency, and proficiency increases reading speed. The third kind of slow reading is more a mirage than anything. It's slow in the sense that the students want to spend less time doing it. This third one merits a bit of tough love. These students need to hear some truth-telling about the importance of reading and the value of what they're being asked to read. They'll benefit in the long run from trying to engage with the text rather than avoiding them, and would do well to use some of the popular strategies to focus their attention where it needs to be. When I was in high school, Evelyn Wood's speed reading courses were the thing. The idea was that if you read faster, your comprehension would rise. Famously, President Kennedy had taken such a course, and in those days, people still wanted to be like President Kennedy. I enrolled in Evelyn Wood at age 16, and I'd say it didn't teach me to read so much faster as it taught me to skim. Later research revealed that speed reading lowered comprehension, despite advertisements to the contrary. Skimmers don't comprehend as well as readers do. Reading rate is not an issue to be concerned with, at least not directly. Slow reading is not the problem. It's more a symptom than a malady. Bottom line, sound reading programs don't make faster rate a goal any more than physicians make lower temperature a goal when treating strep throat. They recognize that heightened temperature is a result of an infection and treat that directly rather than trying to lower the temperature itself, which can be done easily with ice packs and the like. If you want kids to read faster, try building up their decoding, fluency, and vocabularies and teaching them comprehension strategies with sufficiently challenging texts. Make sure they know the importance of reading and the value of what they're being asked to read. These will rid you of these speed reading problems. And that will be the final word today on speed reading. If you'd like to get a written copy of this, go to the Shanahan on Literacy website. It will post on April 25th, 2026. The title is How Important is Reading Rate? One of the benefits of getting the written version is that you get to see the research citations. And this one has a bunch of them. There are 24 research citations. Lots of really interesting and valuable studies are included here. Also, you know, earlier I read through that list of reading times, those estimates of different age level, grade level averages, and that's pretty hard to pick up just listening to it. And so you can see that in tabular form, in a table that'll allow you to put that to use. With that, I want to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.